Hello, everybody. Welcome back to A Certain Point of View here on a Tuesday. It is Tuesday. It's not Tuesday. Monday. We are here today to do The Last of Us. The Last of Us has finally premiered on HBO after a very long time. Everyone has been wanting this show slash movie slash story for many, many years. And now we finally get a chance to talk about it, see it, and have fun discussing it here on the channel. We're going to do this every week, every Tuesday, right here on the channel. You'll see all of our faces. Sometimes it may minus one of us or additional one, but you'll see us discussing this. And this is going to be very exciting because we have a number of different people on this panel that have either played the game, watched the game, maybe remember playing the game.
I don't think I have.
Or have no absolute connection to it whatsoever. So
Brian, you would know if you experienced this game.
I'm like 90% sure I have it downloaded on my PlayStation too, so that's why I'm like so confused.
Well, the first game's been out for quite a while too, so you might have picked it up and then said maybe not.
The only thing is I feel like I would remember, because like those are the type of games that like crap's running at me, like I like, so, and I don't remember doing that, so that's what makes me think I haven't played it.
It is spooky.
Yeah,
kinda spooky.
Yeah, so
no, this is going to be fun. We get all different perspectives here on the panel. But before we get into all that, how's everybody doing today? Everyone doing good? Their week starting off pretty well today?
Doing good.
Yeah. Doing good. Got a lot of work done today and yesterday, and did a stream for Fallen Order. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, there was like a little random trailer that played last night.
Yeah, you guys have been a little busy over the last like 12 hours or 24 hours or so. So,
well, we only have like 3 months to go of that.
That is fair. That is fair.
This man is literally going to be owning the next couple, half the year pretty much. Pedro Pascal is who I'm
in 6 weeks. Oh. We get to talk about him twice in 1 week.
Daddy, which is, Daddy is Pedro.
Awesome. So
he upgraded Molly. He's Zaddy now.
Zaddy. Well, he was mad when Ash called him Zaddy at first, but now I don't know if he's accepted that. I'm fine with just Daddy.
How old is Pedro Pascal?
I think he's like mid 40s.
He's 47.
He's got like gray streaks in his hair for the game because he's supposed to be in his 50s.
I was just checking that he's not as old as he is in the show.
No. He's got fake gray hair and he's really dusty all the time.
47 is not old.
All right. Well, before we get into some specifics, I do want to just kind of get everyone's instant reaction. So Brian, I'm just going to go around the panel. Brian, I want you to start us off. Just kind of a couple sentences on your immediate reaction to watching this on Sunday night.
These are my favorite types of shows where I'm literally holding my breath the whole entire time, to the point where it's almost giving me anxiety. These are the best type of shows. And this, it brought me back very much to the first like three seasons of The Walking Dead, where you're just like terrified that something's just going to come out of nowhere, rip a face off or something, like you don't know what to expect. And these are the best type of shows. And it blew my expectations out of the water, and I had high expectations already. So
Do you know the story generally about what happens?
Yes and no. I think I know more about the second game because you streamed the second game, right?
I don't think so.
I thought you did during quarantine.
Maybe I did. I don't know. Actually,
I think who knows what happened then.
I did because that's what made me actually like look up, like, okay, I'm gonna look up what happens
on my Twitch.
I think
I bet it was on Twitch.
Yeah, it's not on YouTube, so yes,
I wouldn't have done it. Yeah,
so that's kind of where my knowledge lies. I would say I probably know more about the second game than I do the first game.
Yeah, I probably remember the second game a little bit better just because it's fresher in my mind. Yeah. But
I definitely know the first game far better. Like I know the second game well, but I've only played it once. I've played the first game 4 or 5 times.
Wow. Okay. All right. We got an expert on our hands, everybody.
I want to go play it so bad, but now I'm like, no, just enjoy the show.
It's now that it's out. Side.
Like, play it just a little bit at a time while you watch the show.
You really stop like when the first episode stops, Brian. Just continue.
Just literally play. That's enough.
At least for the first episode, you can very much do that. Like, you, it lines up very well that you can reach that point in the game and be like, all right, and then I will stop.
Yeah,
and I've seen you can enjoy both.
I've seen like the TikTok videos of people putting the side by side of all the shots from the first episode. So I've seen like the story modes just be through those videos. But Molly, I mean, what about you? So you haven't actually played the game. You've watched the game. What was your reaction to watching the first episode?
So yeah, I haven't played the game. I think I tried it a couple times. I'm just terrible at playing games. Like, there's a lot of multitasking that you have to do in that game. It's a lot of stealthiness, and I am terrible at being stealthy. I just go out swinging.
That's a terrible idea.
and hope for the best. So I have much more fun just watching Alex play. But this first episode was maybe, like, in my opinion, the best video game adaptation ever.
Was set so high.
It felt like a movie. Like, it felt like we were watching a movie.
Yeah, they set everything up really well. It followed very closely to the game, to the point where, like you said, Jake, there are shots that line up completely with the game. One of my favorites is all the stuff from Sarah's point of view in the backseat of the truck when they're trying to leave.
Yeah.
Oh.
I've seen that video play around a lot, and how like exact it is. And the house was on the other side of the street or whatever, but it looks identical.
Literally unwatchable.
A lot.
Yes. I was waiting for something. And then planes are like about to hit. Like,
okay. So I wanted to bring that up because, Brian, what you talked about of just feeling that anxiety of like, oh, something terrible can happen.
The plane is where it starts hitting you.
Yeah. Well, they did a good job. For as someone who played the game and knew it really well, they spun things on its head because, you know, that car that almost hits them? Uh-huh. In the game, that's what flips their truck. So I was sitting there like...
You see that happen in the show, and you're like, oh, this is it, and then it doesn't happen.
They're like, watch out, and then the truck stops, and I was like, oh, what? Oh, and then it's the freaking plane that lands and knocks everything over. So they're very faithful to the game and its spirit, but they're also doing a lot to make me be very on edge.
Yeah.
So they're like picking and choosing, essentially, like what to exactly adapt, but then to adapt things in different areas.
Say everything else is pretty much the same for the game, except for the motivations for Joel in the show are different than the ones in the game. In the show, he's going to find Tommy, right, Alex?
Yeah, like he's very concerned, like, I have to get out. Tommy's
he hasn't heard from him in like 3 weeks or something.
Yeah. That's not part of the game. But it's a good way to streamline things. The stuff with Robert, which also that was that they did add a lot of scenes. Actually, like, the whole first third of the show, I would say, is wildly different, only because you don't get time in the game to really get to know Sarah. Of that stuff. The game starts with Joel coming home and she gives him the watch for his birthday. That's the start of the game.
Okay.
So, okay. Question. Because since it's great, someone told me, or I saw somewhere that like there's a whole like long intro that they were like glad that they didn't put into it. Is that just nonsense? Like they said, like there's a big old long intro, but they're glad they did it this way.
It's probably the way the game plays out is Sarah wakes up as Joel comes home. She gives him the watch. We get to the point where Sarah dies, and then we do the opening credits for the game. And that's kind of where they explain the cordyceps and the fungi.
Okay.
But they do it through like newsreels and stuff.
Yeah.
So they wiped that out, and instead did the 1960s or whatever.
That might have been my favorite scene from the entire
episode. That was so
fantastic.
Cool. It was incredible. And what a great way to start. Like if you planted that maybe after a couple scenes, it may not have had such a big an impact. But knowing what is about to happen and you watch that, and obviously the real world like effects of what has been going on over the past couple of years as well, it has that much bigger of an impact. It was such a incredible way to introduce you to what is about to happen. And yeah, having the actor as well play him, and I'm forgetting his name, but he's from Spartacus.
John Hannah.
Yes, good call.
The way that they did all that was so smart, because it perfectly sets the mood for what's about to happen. And especially living through a pandemic, the way he compares it to a pandemic and goes like, no, this is a step further than that. The way that this fungus would work is like, they're turning you into puppets and they will never stop using you as a puppet. It's terrifying the way that they explain that.
I saw a scientist say that this could happen. It's
it's
not
real.
Far-fetched that this could actually happen. And I
can't.
Like, no, I
there's
don't
pictures need... of ants with like fungus growing out of their heads, and it's all real.
Yeah, there was a scientist literally was just like, fungus just has to figure out a way to survive in humans, and that's all it would take. And
well, the podcast, the official podcast, I started listening to that, and there's a really good discussion about that scene and how they added it. But Craig Mazin, coming off of Chernobyl, he was like, I'm really interested in this idea that humans will hear that, like, this is possible, and not only is it possible, it probably will happen. And humans have this ability to just be like, nah, it won't.
That's crazy.
Like, to know it. And he was like, that's what Chernobyl was. Like, they knew it could melt down, and they were just like, but it won't.
Yeah.
And so that's what he wanted to do by adding that scene in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as the one who had no idea going into the show, like what it was about, because I hadn't played the game, I hadn't really seen like gameplay footage or anything like that. And I knew it's always been described as like another zombie type story. To me, they don't feel like zombies. Like, the whole fungus idea is so unique and different from the typical thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, when we get those first shots of essentially the dead feeding on humans, but they're like these tentacle things coming out of their mouths. I was sitting there like with my hands over my mouth watching this show, completely surprised at how they depicted that type of creature and brought it to people who don't just play the game but have never even seen it before. I felt so immersed with everything that was happening, like the completely creepy, just locked in.
Yeah.
The creepy old lady. First of all, I've seen enough horror movies.
God, that scene.
That like creepy old ladies already creep me out. Uh-huh. I feel like they're already up to something. But that
what
that
are you up to, Nana?
That scene where she's looking at the DVDs and you see her in the background just kind of slightly out of
she's
focus.
Making faces and
she's
stuff,
making all
right?
these weird faces, and then seeing her move in that weird jerky way and like the tendrils out of her mouth, I was like, nope, no.
That's all, they did such a good job with all the stuff with Sarah, because all of it was new. That was the worst of it, and then having the dog.
Did you know that dog knows something? Candy Newton's daughter. I had no idea.
Oh, I didn't know that.
She definitely looks like her now. Yeah. I mean, now that I know that, like, she definitely looks like her.
Yeah. No idea. I saw it today and I was like, oh my God.
That's
look
awesome.
Just alike. How
That's
did I awesome. Miss that?
Thank God they didn't kill the dog. Thank you.
Thank you. Sarah was so good too. And like you said, Alex, like, they added so much from her point of view. And so even though we knew what was going to go down by the end of that first episode, it was still just completely devastating to see it, because we got all that new stuff from her point of view. It was
oh yeah
so
like I've seen that 5 times, still cried, still was very upset, because they do in the game you play as Sarah until the car crash and then you can't run, so then you're Joel carrying her.
Oh my God.
So
yeah,
like they set dark. You up to be like, you are playing as the protagonist and you want to protect this girl, so they have to do that a different way, and so they're like, we're just gonna let you get to know her for half an hour. And
did either of you watch the like behind the scenes after the episode that HBO always does. So the thing that stood out the most to me is they said they went into casting Sarah and looking at Sarah as the protagonist of the show. Mm-hmm. Like not just the first scene, but they wanted you to fall in love. They wanted us to fall in love with her as someone that we could see through her eyes for the entire series, knowing that obviously she was going to meet her end within the first however long of the episode. And I thought they did exactly that. Like I could follow Sarah and be a part of her little visual for the whole series if she did make it. But then it adds that much more to the impact of what happens to her and everything that, you know, kind of follows.
Obviously. So let me ask you, since I knew that was coming, that was one of the things I knew.
Obviously this show is marketed as Joel and Ellie.
Yeah.
So when you see Sarah, you're like, okay, well, that's interesting. And then you kind of just realize naturally, okay, something's going to happen. You don't know when, you don't know how, but something is going to happen. I did not think a soldier was going to shoot her. Like I thought she was going to get bit or like something like that, but a soldier shooting her, that's crazy.
I saw them, someone clipped the game and it's literally shot.
It's perfect.
Even the rolling is like exactly, and it's like, oh my god.
Craig Mazin is a huge fan of the game, so like I love that he, when he's adapting straight from the game, he's like, I'm gonna do it as close as I can and then we'll change what we have to.
It's
a great adaptation so far.
I love just, I think the episode was like an hour, almost an hour and a half. It was like an hour 25.
Yeah, it was like 85 minutes or something like that, yeah.
Including like the intro, which was great and everything. But
oh, such a good intro. Yeah.
I cheered for the theme music just because.
They kept the theme music.
I can see Alex like standing up and just giving an ovation. Yeah.
Okay, listen. Sometimes the Uncharted, let's stick with Sony even. The Uncharted movie used the Uncharted theme song like twice and it was barely. They barely touched on it. And I was like, that's a great theme song. Use it. So I was scared they weren't going to do the Last of Us theme music and they kept it. Thank you.
Yeah, it was so good. But the way that they took that time to show you just how quickly all that went down within a matter of like 24, 48-ish hours. Like you start hearing a couple of sirens at the start of the episode and it's like you know
when she's in the watch store
you kind of know what's about to go down, but then literally in a couple hours there's helicopters, there's police everywhere, there's fire trucks, there's
planes crashing, like
the planes are crashing
right out of the sky.
There's the military has stepped in and you know that they don't know what to do. They're getting all kinds of orders. Like he was on his walkie-talkie with whoever his commanding officer was, and he was the one to be like, nah, take him out. Just take him out.
They don't know. They obviously don't know where it came from, which I have a question. You know, you guys don't have to answer it.
Jake, this is something I was going to bring up. Where it originated?
Well, like...
Because this guy on TikTok, I'll give him credit, Urban Nerds, he basically brilliantly showed all the ways that they completely revealed how it originated in the episode.
That's what I wanted to ask. Like in the game, no, I don't want to know where it originated from.
Well, they're never going to tell you.
If it's something that is explained in the game. Is that explained in the game? Like that's never explained in the game. Okay.
There may be clues, like what Brian is talking about. I don't know them.
They might do it differently in the show.
Right. I'm just saying in the game, it's not important why it happened.
Okay. Yeah. Cause like The Walking Dead in season 2, it's revealed that essentially everybody has it. And once you die, you just turn.
I just figured it was global warming.
Yeah.
That's what did
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Global warming and that scary old lady.
I actually think that they're going to not fully answer it. I heard an audio clip from a future episode where Ellie kind of asks Joel, how did it start? And he's like, I don't know. but here are some theories. So I think that's how they're going to address it, is that, like, we don't know for sure. Maybe it was this, maybe it was that.
Yeah, they kind of talked about it a little bit in the episode. Like, obviously, the beginning, they talk about all the scientific stuff, and you're like, well, yeah, global warming is definitely gonna happen. And then,
The way he delivered it, too. Like, just, you know, if the world were to get warmer for some reason, and everyone today is like, happen. Oh, man.
But, and then Sarah was kind of asking questions about, the neighbors were probably in the city because the grandmother or that guy's wife, like, has a lot of medical problems, so they have to take her into the city. So they knew it was going to start in a city.
But like, her fear, she kept asking if they were sick and, like, did they get it from the city? Because she just took the bus to the city.
Yeah.
And was scared about it.
Oh, that was really sad, too. Yeah, because she was worried that she was sick. And at that point, no one knows how it, you know, how it transfers from person to person. If it's just in the air, it's terrifying.
All right, real quick, no, I don't want another theory.
Before
Brian, you can send it to me later.
Okay. And continue. I want to bring up a super chat we got from Tim Sim. Tim, thank you so much. Just dropping by. I just wanted to say how the quality of the first episode of the series is massively improved over the Halo series on Paramount Plus. You are not wrong, sir. You are not wrong.
I kind of dug that show and for the very first episode, because I was like, this reminds me of Battlestar in the way that it's not very good, but it could get better.
There's some charm to it, yeah. I like that, yeah.
You start out saying, like, I don't know about this, and then a season and a half later, you're like, yeah, but that didn't happen.
I just think, like, it's like, how did it take this long to make a good TV show about a video game?
Like, it's funny because
I mean, it's a good game, first of
all. Like, it's widely considered the best story game, or one of the best story games of all time. It would make sense for it to be good, and they also took their time. Like, they didn't rush it 3 years after the game came out. It took 11 years.
They tried to make it into in the podcast. Druckmann talks about, I was trying to make it a movie, and I just could not get the story into that amount of time.
Well, so it's like,
it needs to be this. That's it.
Well, because, like, to me, like, this is one of those one. Like, there's a set, like, there's a handful of games that I'm like, this is ripe for a TV show. Like, I don't understand how this is not. Uncharted was one for me, at least. I haven't played them, but like, just from what I saw, I've always heard they're fantastic and whatnot, and I'm like, that just seemed like an obvious for me.
It's great games. Same studio, still Naughty Dog.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. That's what they're great stories with fun gameplay. The Uncharted movie was fine. I didn't hate it. But.
Well, that one's more of like an adventure-y romp. The characters aren't as well thought out.
I don't know about the story, but I feel like The Last of Us story is so much like, just, it has so much more depth to it than something like Uncharted.
I think everyone's discrediting the characters in Uncharted are very good. The stories are also very good. Like, that,
I have no doubt that I would love it. Like, I'm an event. Like, well, obviously, I'm an indie guy. Like,
I feel like the lady character.
Which one?
The main one.
Oh, Chloe. Chloe in Uncharted 2.
She. Over and over, she was like tricking them into helping her, and I was like, "Why do they keep?"
Oh! In the movie, right?
She's
in Uncharted 2 as well.
I didn't like that. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I just there's so many, like, this gives me hope for, like, some video game mediums that I'm hoping, like, they can figure, like. For me, my favorite games of all time are BioShock, and Netflix has the property of that. So that, I'm like,
Netflix does make potential. Some good stuff,
but they want to make it a movie. They want to do movies.
Yeah, I mean, a movie is that's a question.
So I think they could do that. I think they could pull that off.
Maybe.
But BioShock as story driven as Last of Us?
Yeah. Heavily story driven. It's one of the best I haven't played The Last of Us, so I can't say. But for me, it is the best storied video game I have ever played in my life.
It's interesting. I'm curious to see how they do that, though, because BioShock plays with game mechanics in a way of, like, you know, so many games.
Yeah.
Never mind. I don't want to talk about, because that would then be spoilers for the show. But
No spoilers.
They really play with the way you play games. And it's trippy. And I wonder if they can pull that off in a different medium.
Yeah. All right. I want to get into some specifics here in just a sec, but I'm going to bring up the next super chat we got from Tim Sim. Tim, thank you.
Thanks,
to be fair, we had Castlevania and Arcane League of Legends be some of the first to set the bar on high video game adaptations. And The Last of Us seems to be the first live action adaptation to meet that bar. Yeah, that's a very fair point.
I feel like Castlevania, but Arcane was very good. I don't play League of Legends. I don't know anything about League of Legends, but I loved Arcane. So Arcane, I thought was a good tell of they did well for this show because they could get people like me into it without caring about the game.
I feel like with video game adaptations, maybe we're just now getting out of that era of like early comic book adaptations where we were talking about this with a friend last week, but the first X-Men movie where they're like, they're all wearing black leather suits and they're even going to make fun of the fact that, I wouldn't wear yellow spandex. And it's like, they're almost embarrassed of the source material.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like movie studios would buy up IPs like Prince of Persia. And then they would just make jokes about it. And they wouldn't make a movie that was faithful to the game. And now maybe people are like, oh, these are good stories. And if we just treat them with sincerity, even the goofy parts, then they can work. Not that there's really anything goofy about The Last of Us, but maybe The Last of Us will teach some good lessons.
I hope so. Because video game stories are just so, I'm just like, how did this get made into a video game, not a movie? It's just incredible. And this seems to be one of them for sure.
Well, Last of Us is like, sorry, I just
No, you're good. Go ahead, Alex. Go ahead.
Well, Last of Us as a game puts you in the shoes of Joel's shoes so well. And I was talking with Molly about this, that we're playing through the game again. And we're just playing it on easy mode, story mode, so we can experience the story.
So I don't have to be like, okay, can we please move on? You've died a thousand times.
Yeah, because it's hard. and there is something about experiencing that hardship in the game and being like, I have to check every drawer in this house to see if I can find a scissor half so that I can make a shiv, because I am desperate to survive.
And your ammo is like severely limited.
Yeah. So on easy mode, I'm like, I'm fully stocked on everything. It doesn't feel like an apocalypse. So there is something to be said about the way the game puts you in that feeling of like, I'm going to die and I have no supplies and I have to protect this girl. And there is definitely something to the gameplay of it all that I like, but that they're taking out the gameplay parts of the story and filling it in with such good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Molly, your apocalypse on easy mode.
Yeah.
Don't we all?
I don't want to have to watch you die over and over because you can't find a scissor.
I need a scissor.
A scissor half. All right, so look, it's obvious that Pedro Pascal is just the king of all kings right now. He's killing it as this character. Let's talk about some things that we haven't really touched on yet. Bella Ramsey, the Fireflies, present day, what is kind of happening after the time jump. Molly, I want you to start us off here. If you want to talk about Bella Ramsey or if you want to talk about Fireflies, what do you got for us?
So I love Ellie so far. I'm really digging her. I love that casting choice. I've seen Bella Ramsey in Game of Thrones. I feel like That's the only place I've seen Bella.
Same, Lady Mormont.
Yeah.
Yeah, there might have been something else I saw her in, but Lady Mormont. she plays such a badass in Game of Thrones that, like, when I found out that that's who they were casting for this, I was like, oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Because Ellie has so much charm and so much character in the game. She's such a smartass, but in, like, the best way.
Okay, that's one of the questions I was going to ask, is if she's very, like, she was...
From everything I've been reading, everyone's saying that it's like, spot on Ellie. Yes. Like, it feels spot on.
Well, because you got to think, she has grown up in this world.
Yeah.
Period. How, she doesn't
How old is she, by the way?
I think she's 14.
I was going to say, like, she looks around 14, 15.
I think we literally just heard her age in the game. So, she's 14.
So, it's been 20 years. When we see present day, it's been 20 years since we saw past in the first episode of the show. So, this is all she knows.
Yeah.
So, it's crazy to see her, like, go throughout the game, and she'll see stuff like an ice cream truck, and she'll be like, what is this? Are you telling me that a person just drives a truck around and gives out ice cream? And they're like, no, they sell it.
That's going to be like, crazy. What?
I didn't even think about that.
What?
Stuff. Yeah, she doesn't know anything about what the world was like before all of this. So it's cool to see her through her point of view go through all that. But I also really love how they've already kind of set up, and they talk about this in the after show thing after the episode, but like how she connects with Joel and how it's not necessarily a healthy relationship off the start. Because
I mean,
when she sees him like beating that guy,
that's what I was gonna say, is she was loving that.
She was like, hell yeah, I'm in this.
Yeah.
Like, let's do it.
That was like her kink or something. Her face is just like, she's like, yeah, like, let's do this.
We don't need to talk about 14-year-old kinks, but you know, no shame.
I mean, the way they talk about this in the podcast a bit, and I'm already trying to find a way to talk about this show on our channel when it's over. but I think I found it, because they talk about how they wanted to tell a story about the unconditional love of a parent and how love isn't always a good thing. Like, love is the most powerful force in the universe, and that's problematic.
Because
at the root of people's greatest like fears and angers and this and that, it's love. And I was like, oh, that's Anakin. Like, boom, easy.
Yeah.
That Joel's unconditional love.
Gotta make
Joel getting that moment to right the wrong from Sarah's death and just beat the hell out of that guy. That is Anakin.
And audience, that was like satisfying to see, but you also see,
it's like a release of anger. Like,
yeah, just, but you also see just like what kind of place he's in mentally, and it is not a good place. And you're like, wait, is he capable of taking care of this 14-year-old girl?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
I also really enjoyed their first interaction where he just threw her against a wall.
Dude,
absolutely fantastic.
He's like,
fantastic. Just great. I loved it.
I mean, she had a knife.
Yeah.
Come on.
That scene was so efficient. It combined like three or four scenes from the game into one.
Yeah.
And they did it well. They had to get
like, through that story really quick.
The whole thing with Robert was a whole section of the game that probably takes 30 or 40 minutes to play through.
That's what I had starred, Jake, that you unstarred. Someone said it was a Robert tutorial or something. That's what I was referring to.
That's how you learn how to shiv people.
Yeah.
Is fighting your way to Robert. And then Tess kills him after finding out that he gave away their guns, not a car battery, to the Fireflies.
Mm.
And then you go find the Fireflies and Marlene and stuff. And they're like, we'll make this right if you smuggle Ellie to our people outside of the quarantine zone.
But they just
compressed all of that into one scene and they nailed it.
In the game, does he know the Fireflies like he does in the show?
Yeah, he knows who Marlene is. Like, he's, I think Joel had that moment where he's like, if you tell me to look for the light, I will punch you in the jaw.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Tommy.
They're a little culty.
Yeah. Well, I've heard that they play both sides, like good and bad. And I like asked one of my best friends. I asked him, I was like, because I put the Firefly logo on the thumbnail, and I was like, is this something that I can do? Is this like, would people come after me if I do this? And he goes, that's a loaded canceled. Question. He's like, that's a loaded question, but yes, they're mainly good. That's what he
Molly asked, are they, they're like the rebels. Are they the good guys? And I was like, I don't know that anyone's good in
Are they like Saw? Like, are they like Saw?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, I guess. They, like, they're ultimately they're fighting good. Against the fascists, but
okay.
You know. You know, that's all I'll say for now.
fun fact real quick, just as far as the casting goes, Merle Dandridge, who plays Marlene in the show, she originally went out for the part of Marlene in the game and didn't get it, which is cool.
They talked about that.
They touched on that, and 11 years later, here she is playing the character, which is super
cool. How cool is that?
I kind of wanted Dee from Battlestar to play her because she looks just like her in the show. Or in the game, but the Marlene they cast is very, very good.
Yeah, I thought they did a really good job at introducing the Fireflies quickly, getting through straight to Ellie, where she's at, what her story is, and then by the end of the episode, we are like, oh, she is special. There's something about her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that she just like openly just said. No, like I got bit. This happened 3 weeks ago. Like it was just like
whoosh, she had to in that moment because of the test, right? Like did they do the tests in the game? I can't remember. The test of negative positive.
So what is that? Does that say just like you're infected? That is? Okay.
So
yeah, that little boy got chucked into the fire pretty damn quickly.
That poor freaking little kid, man. This show is pulling no punches. That. They do that in the first like 30 minutes of the show. You know they ain't pulling anything. Like,
was that in the game?
No. They have a moment. They have a moment where like you and Tess are walking to again, they've added so many scenes in a great way. Oh, I keep meaning to bring this up, but the scene with Tess and Robert where she is promising to go about her way and not bring Joel back to kill them all. And then the wall explodes. Like none of that was in the game. And that took us completely by surprise. But yeah, they basically show the test in a different way in the game. But the whole scene with the kid was just to show like scan the kid. Oh, it's red. That's bad.
I didn't even notice the positive test result. I was just like, oh, look at them. They're helping this kid. And then I see the kid in the back of the truck. And then like you see the shoes and the bags over his head. And I was like, what?
Yeah. And it's also it was also a very eerie way to reintroduce an older Joel. Because he just grabs the kid and throws him in the fire.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we had just seen him crying over the loss of his daughter. 20 years later, he's 1,000-plus miles away from his original home, and he's throwing a young boy into a fire. Like, it was a very interesting scene to be able to do all of
he's
that. Like, it was terrifying.
He's trying to get jobs and the ration cards at this point.
I saw Gordon and Kyle in the chat say that she also, that actress voiced Marlene in the game. That's true. So really? She is Marlene through.
I did not know that. I thought she auditioned for the role but didn't get it.
That's what I was led to believe when she said, like, I auditioned for Marlene.
Me too. Like, okay, that's cool.
You played Marlene.
That's awesome. That's
yeah, that's great.
Molly, the kid getting tossed into the fire by Joel gave me the Twilight scene where she's holding the baby and she just tosses
him. Oh my God.
I was just like, oh God.
Can't have no vampire kids.
Hey, if they can connect Star Wars, we can connect Twilight. So,
I'm not complaining.
All right. Well, Alex, I wanted to throw it to you. Is there anything that we haven't talked about yet that you would love to touch on in this episode? I mean, a lot happened. It was an hour and a half worth of footage, so
it didn't feel like an hour and a half.
No, it went by so quick. I'm just impressed. Like, I'm just excited to keep watching it. The episode ended, and I was like, I'm just gonna play the game now, Molly. Like, we're about 2/3 of the way through, and I'm just like, I want to keep sitting in this universe as grim and terrible as it is. Knowing where this story goes. It's one of my favorite stories.
For me, the zombies are scarier in the show than in the game. Just the way that they move.
Yeah, that's a good thing to talk about.
Are they called clickers? Is that
you haven't seen a clicker yet?
You have
at the very end, actually.
So,
the preview for the next one.
No.
So there the last scene. There's one on top of the building.
Stealing this for me. You do this to me all the time.
Where's the clicker, Brian?
So you know the scene where they are looking at the building and the city and whatever, and then they start walking down. There's one on the roof that's like flicking, like freaking out and clicking that you kind of keep seeing in the lightning.
How did it get up there? What's it doing up there? There's no food up there.
I don't know.
Trying to get down. That's why.
Yeah.
I don't know. The zombies, the way that they look is so spooky, scary in the show. And I love the way that they move. And I cannot wait to see in the game, there's so many different iterations of this zombie.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was kind of one thing I had a question that either of you can answer. I've heard there's like stages of the zombie. So it's like the first one being like the crazy grandma. And the second
A runner.
Okay, that's a runner. And then the second is like they're not entirely dead, but they're like turning into the clicker or something like that.
I think those are in part two more. I think they're called stalkers or something.
I heard they're the ones that are more like sneaky and stuff.
Yeah. So they kind of like scramble around.
Like someone was playing the game. And it was like, I hate these son of bitches. And every time you turn around, they just... And I'm like, oh my God. And then the third one was like, the fungus is completely taken over. And it's like, they don't have eyes or something. It's just like...
But they're like bulletproof or something.
Yeah.
Or they're like super protective.
They almost look kind of like the Stranger Things Demogorgon, the way that the fungus grows on the face. That's kind of like what their heads look like.
Basically they have no eyes. The fungus has grown out of their eyes, so they use echolocation to
and that's find why they're people. Called
they're I wouldn't
you
say
guys,
they're super
do you guys want to see the clicker from the last scene? I have it.
Oh sure.
I do.
Yeah, it's very quick.
Left side of the building.
Yeah, it's zoomed in, but it's hard to see, but here you go.
Okay.
They are so screwed next week.
Quick plug.
Okay, so the clicker is next. They are in the game, they're one hit kills. So they're scary.
Okay.
But they're not indestructible. I think you might be talking about the bloaters, which we've seen in the trailer.
I've heard. Yeah. Okay.
And those then eventually
are terrifying.
In The Last of Us 2, we meet the Rat King, which is like multiple people combined together.
What?
Oh, I remember that
one. Oh my God.
My God. I've never been so scared in a game.
Oh, that feels like a spoiler, Alex.
I don't think so. It's just another level of infection.
They might not. I mean, they might not show that.
Question here for the panel. And I think we all can answer this, but is Ellie being immune to the fungus a point in the game?
Yes.
I mean,
it's like the main point, right?
That is what makes her super important.
She's been bit, and the bite is several weeks old, and it's healed over. And she's
she said 3 weeks in the episode is what she said.
So she's not affected by the bite, and so they are trying to get her to some scientists to figure out what it is about her that's so special, and hopefully find some kind of cure.
Which also another point of showing the child that wandered into the city that was infected, it's another reason they cannot let her go to Fedra, because they're not gonna think twice about just being like, well, you're dead.
She's gonna test positive and they're gonna kill her.
Like, what if that kid was bitten and they tested and he was negative and they just killed him? Not saying he was, but you know.
No, I think he was. I think he was infected.
Yeah.
Oh, are you saying what if he was
little,
like
the little boy?
And they would never.
Yeah, like what if he was like Ellie and he just.
If he were immune, you know?
And they just threw him in a fire. Like Joel just threw him in a fire.
Yep.
There is one more thing that they're doing a little bit different in the show versus the game, and it's the spores. So the way that this whole thing transfers in the show is more about these tendrils that are like growing out of the zombies.
That shot of the little, that was wild. I was like totally just gasping.
Ugh, it's so gross.
That's new, yeah.
In the game, there are just spores floating in the air that can turn you.
Really?
Yeah. I heard
that. Like, it's essentially just airborne in the game.
Yeah.
Well, in certain areas, it's like strongly in the air to the point where you have to put a mask on, like a gas mask.
So that would have been a cool aspect of that.
Yeah.
But I understand why they changed it, because it would have been really hard to generate like the spores in the air and have them moving around according to how the characters are moving.
Well, they could technically come across a location where they have to put a gas mask on, right? Like, if you said it's just like certain areas, they could have come across like a random town or something where that actually could happen.
That's true. They may still do it.
I think the reviewers that have seen the first three episodes have said that they may not be doing this, the whole spores thing.
It's just to see Pedro Pascal's face. Come on.
Yeah, he's like, I've worn enough masks.
Yeah, you can't put another mask on his face. Yeah.
The moment where they find that one dead fungus person stuck to the wall.
That was wild.
Yeah. That would have been like, put your mask on. There's spores everywhere.
Because then once they plant themselves like that, then they're just putting out spores. But
it's like, eventually these people do die. And when they die, they're just spore factories in the game.
Yeah, because the host is not viable anymore.
If that's the case, then I like the decision to not do that, because that wouldn't make any sense. They would be everywhere.
So I saw something where he was talking about it, and he said that there's no sense, if they did it that way, there would be like no sense of like regulation. Like, it would clearly just spread. Because he compared it to like COVID, that it's just everywhere, and eventually everyone's going to get it. So this takes away that like little bit. So it makes it like a little bit more like,
honestly, in the game, there are points where like you go into a building and Joel's like, mask on. And then the second you open the door and get back outside, he's like, mask off. And I'm like, dude, keep it on for like 20 feet at least.
Yeah.
I don't know what you think.
It makes sense for the game mechanic of like, this is an extra dangerous zone where you have to stay masked. But for the live action show, I'm not worried about it.
They can easily get around it.
Yeah.
I don't think, to be completely honest, I mean, there's been a lot of blowhards that are like pissed off about certain changes, yet I haven't heard anything about people being pissed off about the spores, which is funny to me, because that feels like that, if I was someone that cared about like how accurate you're gonna do, like that would be like oh my god, they're ruining the whole entire thing. But like,
what are the changes they're whining about? Are they the changes I think they're whining about?
I don't know, but is it race changes?
That would be my guess.
Yeah, that's, I think, what it sounded like to me. So it's funny. I hear more about that than I was like, they changed the spores? Like, that's kind of a big deal, but it's like crickets.
So. Well, I did notice that they did like two close-ups of just dust in the air. And I was like, I wonder if they're trying to like pay tribute to the idea of the spores. Because in the show, there's a lot of dust going around that are
I think it's just like the loading screen for the game is just dust and spores. So I think that was just a nice little like point, like, we know.
Well, yeah, but like Sarah's not white, so we gotta yell about it,
right? Well, that's the thing, is like, okay, the reason the infection spreads isn't really important, the reason it happens isn't really important, Joel's race, Sarah's race, not important. It's just who they are.
Like, who cares? Like,
yeah.
I mean, to me, Pedro Pascal, like, I know that there's obviously a lot of big actors that could play the role of Joel, but when you put a side-by-side of the two of them, I'm like that's spot on. Great. Like, that's spot on of what I would think Joel would look like at 55 years old.
Dead on.
I mean, people were upset that they cast Bella Ramsey as well, just because she didn't look exactly like Ellie.
And you're so dumb. So dumb.
She is fantastic. Yeah. I don't know what crack they're smoking, but I cannot wait to see her
get more into this.
Me too.
Like, I mean, she was in it, but like Joel was definitely the main focus for the most part of this.
Yeah.
So like, I'm curious to see like more of her.
And their relationship is what I want to see the most of. Cause I know that it's like a big part of the game.
That's the entire story.
Chase is correct.
Yeah. While we're on the topic of like kind of casting the characters, just one thing that we haven't really touched on before we kind of start to finish up here. Gabriel Luna as Tommy.
Oh,
I mean, I know that I haven't played the game, but having him and Pedro Pascal be brothers, I think is perfect. Mm-hmm. I obviously know him from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. As Ghost Rider. But I don't know the story history and kind of what's coming for the characters. From what I've heard is that they're bringing Tommy back into the show a little bit faster than they do in the game. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong. And I do have a question. Is he a Firefly or is he not a Firefly?
Why would you want to know that?
Well, they kind of alluded to it in the first episode, but it wasn't like officially clear. Like it wasn't like clear.
I was gonna say,
I don't know if that matters, Alex.
Yeah, I don't think that really matters as far as a story point. I just wanted to know. That's all.
I was gonna say that Joel says in the show that Marlene turned his brother against him.
Yeah, that's that, and I wanted to make sure that it was kind of like a he's a Firefly essentially. So
I'm not confirming or denying.
Marlene turned his brother against him.
That's how Joel knows Marlene.
Okay.
Joel has a history with the Fireflies and he does not like them.
Okay. Yeah, that's good to know. Yeah. Good to know.
I laughed in a horrible way when Marlene, what was the other girl's name? Marlene
Kim, I think.
Yeah. When
you don't have an ear.
Yeah. Oh, poor Kim. Shut up. Yeah. Shut up, Kim. You don't even have an ear. And just like,
did she even hear that? I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Some of my favorite reactions to the show, which have all, like, people that I've seen have been so overwhelmingly positive on Twitter and Reddit that they have started to fake complaints to have. And one of them was Kim couldn't go on the mission because now she can't activate listening mode, which is a thing that you can do where you basically like crouch down and you listen and you see that someone's on the other side of this wall or over there. Molly saw one about how there's not enough rummaging in drawers. Someone else was talking about how like
not enough rummaging through drawers for random items or comic books.
It was cowardly of them to remove the scene where Joel dies 18 times in the first clicker room and you delete the game. Like, so far, Last of Us fans seems to be really happy.
I was literally sitting in Alex's office and I saw him. He had the Reddit page for Last of Us pulled up and I saw a post and it said, Bella Ramsey is not Ellie. And I just saw the title and I was like, oh, figures. They're just mad that she looks different. And then what did it say?
She's Veronica, because that's the fake name that she gave.
Yeah.
Like that's the people
Every
have
once
nothing
in a while,
to be mad at.
Reddit will surprise me.
I will say, though, there are two Last of Us subreddits. There's one that's about the Last of Us fandom, and there's another one that's similar, but it's all about complaining about Last of Us 2, which is, it's the Last Jedi of the Last of Us fandom.
Don't go there.
No, don't go there. It's terrible. It's full of terrible people. The Last of Us 2 is amazing. Like, I will not talk about that story at all. Yeah. It makes some really... bold
it choices. Ruffled a lot of feathers
and I was like upset but in a good way playing through that game, and at the end like I was like, I'm gonna talk about this on the channel because it was a great freaking story.
Okay, question about that though, without obviously spoiling, does it like, is there going to be a sequel to the second one, or is it the game's done, like clearly done at the end of the second one?
I think it's open. And there are rumors, whispers of a third game happening. Okay. I hope it happens. The second game is great.
So there's not a clear cut. Okay, there's no way they can do anything else after this.
The second one has a satisfying ending, I would say.
And so does the first one. Like, yeah, the first one, I would say, if they never made a second Last of Us, I would have been fine. And if they don't make a second season, if they just do the first game in season one and it ends, I'll be like, hey, hell of a story.
That's what they've talked about for the show so far. They've said that the first season is going to be the first game. And if it continues, like if it gets renewed, they're going to spread it out to as long as they need to cover the rest of that story.
Because there is a time jump between seasons or parts one and two.
I was going to ask if the first game was too big to be just one season or for that you can cover one season of the first game.
Like I think in nine episodes. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was just looking up. So it's nine episodes this season?
It's nine episodes, yeah.
Oh, I thought I heard some were six, and I was like, six?
And they're all
at least eight.
And they're all pretty long. They're all at least an hour-ish.
They're Game of Thrones lengths. Like, Game of Thrones and this, HBO is committed to being like, oh, we have to tell as much as we can in each episode. We'll go over, like... You've seen plenty of Game of Thrones episodes be like an hour and 15 minutes. So
I think I don't Craig expect any and Neil different. Sat down and they were like, let's break this story up into however many parts it needs. Like, where does it make sense to stop? And a lot of fans guessed the first episode will probably end with figuring out that Ellie is immune. Boom. Like, they just found these natural cliffhanger moments.
Yeah.
And I have a guess where episode two will end. But like I think that they planned out the season to cover the first game. And I think that it'll be enough.
I'm so like intrigued by all of this stuff. This is so interesting. Because I'm such in the blind of not knowing anything that's coming our way. So
do you think we'll see a clicker for sure next episode?
100% I think we will. Yeah. Yeah. I want to see that thing die. So I want to see Joel go hard on a clicker. Hard.
I'm interested to see how easy they are to kill in the show because they're not like you said, Alex. They're one hit kills if they find you.
Yeah,
as Joel, you're done.
They're not necessarily harder to kill; they're just scarier. And so, like, I was thinking of Brian being like, "Oh, I just want to see him go ham on a clicker." I'm like, I want to see Joel, my version of Joel, which is a panicked run around the building, screaming
with half a scissor, just trying to stab behind.
All I have is a scissor half.
Well, because that brings in the stealth part of the game, right? That I'm terrible at. Like, you're trying to just not get seen by these things at all.
You don't have to kill a clicker. You can just sneak by a clicker.
I don't know if we've talked about it or if I missed it, but are they blind?
Yeah.
Like at that point, right? They're blind.
They're using echolocation.
Okay, so they can't see once they become a clicker, their full vision is gone. Okay.
Yeah. The game makes a point of like, you can have your flashlight on and they won't notice.
You can throw stuff in the other direction to try to get them like distracted and go over there to sneak around.
Got it.
There are ways to get around.
Kind of like the Quiet Thing monsters.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't think those ones could see well either.
No, they couldn't see at all. They just did by sound.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, okay, perfect. Well, there you go.
Well, this has been fun. This has been fun. This gets me excited because, again, I'm in the blind and seeing all of you excited for knowing a little bit about the game or a lot about the game is very, very cool. Show seems to be off to a massive start. I loved it. It seems like everybody else loved it. We're going to be here every single Tuesday, recapping this show for the next 9 weeks or 8 weeks going forward, I guess. It is officially Pedro Pascal season, everybody. So we'll be talking Pedro Pascal for the next, I don't know,
probably
16 weeks or something. all the way through like the end of April, I think is what we'll be doing with Pedro Pascal. So
the people who made the Pedro Pascal podcast.
Oh my God. They are
great job.
Yeah.
Eating,
they're thriving.
Living,
they're thriving.
Thriving. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Making lots of money. That's what they're doing. Collecting the check.
Well, to everyone watching live, hanging out with us, talking some Last of Us, we appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, we'll be here every Tuesday talking each and every episode of this show. I'm echoing in someone's background.
Now you're hearing the church bell.
No, I'm not. I'm hearing my own voice.
No, it's an echo.
It must be me because I...
We have probably. Headphones.
Probably, Brian. Probably.
It was Brian.
but yeah, so let's go ahead and wrap it up and I'll just let everybody do some quick plugs, even though everyone probably knows where everybody is at. Alex, start us off. Where can everyone find you online?
We are at Star Wars Explained. Molly and I talk about all things Star Wars every single day. Tomorrow, we're going to live stream about The Bad Batch with the Galactic Podcast. Thursday, we'll be building the Razor Crest Lego set while we take your questions. And next Tuesday, I'll keep on playing Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
Love
Hell
it.
Yeah.
And Molly?
You can find me on Twitter at Molly Damon, Instagram at Molly Mander. All the same plugs as he just said, but I will also add, I'm going to be on the YouTube channel Casterly Talk Thursday night for their big Willow
that's show awesome.
Wrap up because I was
so
like,
good.
I was talking back and forth with Alden for weeks being like, I want to talk about this show, but I'm not caught up. And then I was like, I need a break. I'm so overwhelmed, but I was like, I will be there for the final show because I love that show so much and I got to talk about it. So I'll be there on Thursday,
Molly,
9 p.m. Eastern.
Can you bring this up for me? Because this is another example of something I talked about earlier.
You can the be Willow on the theme show
song,
too.
The Willow theme song is amazing.
Yeah.
And they barely used
yeah.
it.
Yeah, they barely used
that's,
it. You're
that's
right.
the Mad Mardigan Why? Theme song.
No, it's the Willow theme song. They well, did use a lot
of
Mad Mardigan.
They used a lot of 80s rock instead.
I think they twisted it to be a little more Mad Mardigan themed.
I get it. But I just love that song so much.
It's,
and I was like,
it's
waiting.
So catchy.
I was just waiting.
Willow was great. That's awesome. That's awesome. Mr. Echo, Brian, where can everyone find you?
Am I echoing still now?
Still, so, yeah.
It's okay.
Do yours and I'll put my headphones in.
At Qui-Gon Jake, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Apocalypse Movies. Brian and I will actually be on our main show in about an hour. We're playing movie trivia if you're interested, hanging out, doing some trivia. And then POV is live on Monday and Tuesdays for the foreseeable future. Check out the Patreon as well. We just announced that this month's bar trivia is Pitch Perfect. We'll be doing the Pitch Perfect trivia, all thanks to Molly. That'll be a week from Thursday. So go check that out. All the links are in the description. Brian, close it out.
I feel like I'm one of those kids in my class now that, oh, I'm going to wear a beanie to look cool. And really, their AirPods are just underneath it. We have all seen on Twitter and Instagram. Brian will see it on Goodreads if you want to join my cult there.
Book club.
And my last question is for Alex. Does Molly get to make the Razor Crest accurate?
No, she doesn't get to touch it. No.
At the very, nope. Not at the very end. She doesn't get to.
I think we have the non-UCS one that we built 2 years ago. You can. I'll let you smash that one.
Oh my God.
Really?
Yeah, not the UCS one, but now that we've upgraded.
Technically, something has to smash that. Like, you got to throw something on top of the Razor Crest to blow up.
I'll,
but, yeah.
I'll figure it
Pip
out.
In.
That'll be a great video. That'll be a great, great video. Again, to everyone watching live, thank you so much. Everyone watching the replay, leave your thoughts in the comments. We would love to hear from you guys. We'll be here every single Tuesday. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll catch you guys next time.